Perhaps you'd like to open your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. Deal with us, Spirit of God, honor it all. Honor yourself by honoring our Lord, honoring our Father. And Father, we'll thank you for letting it all happen, making it happen. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our studies of John chapter 15, we have proceeded looking at our Lord. He is about to go out to the cross. Now, having said that and backing up a bit, if we can, God has a wonderful, wonderful plan for humans. How do you know that? Because you are made. All humans are made in the image and likeness of God. Angels aren't like that. And bugs and birds and bees aren't like that. Just humans. Humans are made for God. For God to be God. The whole existence of our humanity requires God. To be independent of God, to be independent of God, is going to miss out on God's plan and purpose. You cannot enjoy the purpose of your creation apart from God. And God has a wonderful plan and purpose. Sin came along and caused the disruption of the plan, and yet in the disruption is part of the plan. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb of God was slain before anything, including angels, were created. Now, God, you have a wonderful plan. It involves the Son of Man, the Son of God. It involves the Lamb of God. It involves us humans created in your image and likeness. And it's an awesome thing. And therefore, God, sin came along and caused us to spiritually die, to lose our relationship to you. So humans are existing, they're living in a state of death. That is the absence of life. What life? Your life, God. It's the absence of his life. Now, so we live on earth, and we do. We're born physically in your grace and kindness. And we live on earth, and then we die in your wonderful providence and working. And we die. We live and we die. Now, we often make that the beginning, born, and the ending, die. But it isn't that. We make it that, and we put it on this tombstone, and we do that. But it isn't about us being here. It's about us being there. It isn't about time. It's about eternity. You weren't created for time. You were created for eternity. This is just the place to locate you in the light of God's glory and grace in eternity. You're here. This little journey you have, whether it's 10 years or 100 years, is only a moment. It isn't about here. We're all caught up, live and die and work and retire. We're caught up in it. It isn't about here. It's about there. That's what it's about. And that's forever. That's forever. That's what it's about. Now, having got that, you need that, because we locked into this. And it isn't about here. This gets us rightly related for there. Now, so therefore, that's the wonderful work of God. And the heavens and earth were created in Genesis 1, etc. And in Revelation 21 and 22, God creates a new heavens and a new earth that lasts forever. There's no more sunlight, etc. God is the center of it. God is the center. That's, I'm trying to help you focus a little bit, maybe. I'm looking, understand that. It's here. We're looking at it. We live. The sun rises and sunsets and all of that. But it's way more than that. Now, over 1 Corinthians 15, you're looking, and that helps us immediately. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you will pick up with me in thought, starting in verse 25. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For reason. He hath put, he, God, the Father, hath put all things under his, Christ, the feet. And when he saith, all things are put under him, Christ, it is manifest, clear, public, plain, that he, God the Father, is accepted. God the Father isn't under, God the Father's doing it. Which did put all things under Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, is the one to go and glorify God. God being God alone, no other God, no other way, in any way, shape, or form, for God to glorify himself, but to be himself, for God to be himself in a most awesome way. And God is going to glorify himself by himself because no one else could ever do it. Now, so therefore, God has assigned God the Son, the Lamb of God, before anything. It's all about the Lamb of God going to the cross and dying and rising again and creating a wonderful, wonderful forever of a new heavens and a new earth where the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderfully, wonderfully understood in heaven and in hell. Understood what? That God is God to in his most magnificence. God is God. And that's what he's going to do. God, and that's what it's all about. For God to be found in God, in Christ. God, that's the plan before anything. It's all about God. So therefore, when we read verse chapter 15, verse 28, and when all things, God is finished, great right throne judgment and all of it, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son of him also himself be subject in submission unto the Father, that, order that, put all things under him. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's done with his assignment in the Lord, in his wonderful humanity and deity in the person of Christ, he's going to turn around, having put it all in order, and he's going to turn around and present it to God the Father, Daniel chapter 7, etc. Going to present it to God the Father. What for? What was it all about? The end of verse 28, that God, in order that God may be all in all. That God, anywhere, everywhere, at all times, is gloriously God. That's what it's about. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so God's going to give in his outworking. You have to keep that in mind. And in the process, God is showing forth his awesome person. And the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, and then the Moses wants to know his name to be able to tell the people, who is it that's giving the orders to Exodus, Egypt? And the Lord Jesus said, Exodus 3:14, I am that I am, that is my name. Verse 15, that is my name forever. I am that I am. I am always who I am. I am never less than who I am. Ever. I am always who I am. I can never be other than who I am. I am. Now, having got that little bit in mind, if you would, that God is going to be all. That's the whole, that's where we are, that's where we're going, and the world is oblivious to it for the most part. Now, or if you would to add to that, if I may, Psalm 138, you know it, I just want to add it in your thinking at the moment. Psalm 138, I think. And you will note in Psalm 138, picking up if I can, in verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. I'm going to praise your name because of who you are and your wonderful character and attributes. For thy truth, by truth, thy word, thy saying, thy speak. God, you've given us your word. For thou hast magnified, it's intense, it's causative. You have caused, made happen. You have magnified thy word above thy name. Now, God, what have you done? Well, the Lord Jesus, God, is the Word. Remember that? I'll turn there, but John chapter 1, when we did it, John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, the Word was with God, the Word is God, was God, will be God, the Word. The word Word, W-O-R-D, means that a word. What's a word? It's a way to, what are we, we're using words. Words give expression to thought, to fullness. The word is the way to reveal. Words reveal. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the of the wonderful Trinity. God the Son's assignment is to reveal. He's the Word, to reveal the invisible God. And that's why he's going to reign forever and ever in the new heavens and a new earth. He's going to reveal God in a most wonderful way. And what are us humans supposed to be? We're supposed to be part of it. Now, so here we are looking, and the Word, God, as you've given your Word above your name, and God, you're going to honor your Word. You're going to magnify thy Word, exalt thy Word. And God, in doing so, we're going to understand that you're going to do it in an awesome, awesome way. So God, you're going to tell us your word, and you've given us your word. Now, of all the things, God, you did that in Genesis chapter 1, and Moses wrote, and God, you had him as your penman to write and record all of that, which he didn't even exist. And God, Moses wrote it, recorded it about God and his, and about us, etc., etc. Now, so God is going to honor his word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1:14. God, the invisible God, became visible in the person of Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, he becomes visible, verse 18, we don't have to go there, John 1:18, and his assignment is to explain God. The Lord Jesus Christ's assignment, John 1:18, is to make God understood. How? By God being God in the flesh. So you can see him. But you can't see him. Ah, you can. The Word makes him clear, public, plain. Hang on. So now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, and all the prophets, Moses and all of them, did pointed to what? Pointed to the prophet. In doing so, John chapter 12, if you would, And in the Gospel of John in chapter 12, picking up in thought, may I go? You're familiar with it in the light of our study of John of late here. But look at it again, chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. Well, now I'm going to verse 47, a little better context. And if any man, may or may not, third class, if any man hear my words and believe me, believe not, I judge him not. Why not? For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I came to save it. Well, where is the judgment? It's going to be in the Word. My Word is going to judge you. I gave you my Word written by way of the prophets, and one after another went in history at each appropriate time until we come to the New Testament. Wow. So God, you're going to go and you're going to judge us by the Word. Verse 48 now. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him at that day, in that day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father has said unto me, so I speak. I speak the word of God. I am the word of God. I speak and communicate the word of God. And that's what I do. So everyone needs to know. So God, here's all the prophets, and you, without taking, we take one time to do that. You're in John. Turn over to John chapter 5. You're right here. Why not? John chapter 5. And you will note, in John chapter 5, reminding yourself, he's the Word. He's given the Word. And the where do the words come from? They came from the Father. How was the Father giving the Word? Through his Son. Is it clear? Absolutely. The Father is speaking, so with a Son, he's the Son of the Father. When it comes through the Son, boy, do you see the Father. No question. Chapter 5, John, and picking up in verse 38. Well, verse 37. As the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me, you have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have never seen God. He's invisible. 4, verse 38, and you have not his word abiding in you, which would help you understand God in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. I am the word, said the Lord, and you don't believe me. I'm come to make it clear. Therefore, verse 39, search the scriptures, Genesis and onward. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which bear witness of me. And without turning there in Luke 24, verse 27, 44, what do we know? God said, listen, the Psalms, the Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, the word, the whole Bible is about me. You can't read the Bible without reading about me. It's a revelation of my wonderful person. Now, God, what about your wonderful person? That awesome revelation. Over to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1. Now, God, you're making yourself clear, plain. And he did. And the Word became flesh, our Lord, born of Bethlehem of Judea. And when you come now, you're going to read, you'll notice, in the Gospel of Matthew, we have it written to the Jews to be, they understood Christ was to be the Messiah, the King. And therefore, when you read chapter 1 of Matthew, you're going to read about verse 1, and the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, A, and the son of Abraham, both, he is. And then you begin Abraham all the way down, verse 12. He is the king. He is the rightful king. And then you hit David, the king. And then you hit Abraham, verse 13, Abraham, about the Savior. He is the Savior. He's the king, and he's the Savior. That's what he, and that, now watch, pick it up. In verse 16, Jacob begat Joseph and the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ the Messiah. He's the king, the prophet, the priest. He's the one. It's all about him. Uh-huh. Now, over chapter 1, verse 21. And you shall call his name, you shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, God, you have made yourself known all over the place in every kind of way possible that would help us. And you're going to, this one born in Bethlehem of Judea, the Word is going to become flesh, flesh and blood, so we could come to grips with it better with you. And in the process, you're going to call, and his name is Jesus. Now, the name Jesus, remember, is a compound name in the Old Testament of the word Jehovah, Jah or Jehovah, and the verb to save. So, Jehovah saves. Jesus. Jehovah saved. Jehovah the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He's God. But do you understand, if he isn't the Savior, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God is what? Slain. But there's nothing to slay, nothing to die for. Ah, but there will be. It's all about, that's the centerpiece of this whole package of eternity, time and eternity. He's the centerpiece. Aha. To what? To make God to be all in all. That's what. Now, so therefore, Jehovah the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's what you're going to do. And in calling his name Jesus, now, in order to catch that a little different, if I can, let me just remind you, here's the, I'm going back in your mind, if you would, your thinking, your imagination. Going back in the Old Testament, I want you to travel with me a bit into down through history. And God, what have you, you are awesome. I am that I am. You always made that clear. And you always made clear that you were able to save to the uttermost. That's right. And I made it very clear. And I told people all the time, told them what? Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And you will notice in Isaiah chapter 43, picking up in thought, if I can. I'm going to just begin just to get the flavor of it. Isaiah 43, verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Now, God, you're the Savior. That's right. And you're going to say that over and over. And what's it all? Israel was to be a witness of you, God. That's what they were to do. What are we supposed to be? Witnesses of his wonderful power. Isaiah 43, verse 10. The Israel is their witness. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, and that you may know purpose, you may know and believe me, personal, and understand that I am he. You need to understand his wonderful person. Before me, there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I'm the only God. And by the way, verse 11, I, the Lord, am beside me, beside the Lord, and beside me, there is no Savior. There's your little word, Jesus, Jehovah, Savior, the verb to save. There is no Savior. I'm the only Savior there is. I'm the Creator. And if you want to understand the purpose and fulfillment of why you were ever created in the first place, you're going to have to look to me. Who was able to save, to deliver, to rescue, to make wide, to make free, to make it all work? God said, I am. I'm the one. I'm the one that created you, and I'm the Savior. What are you doing in Matthew, God? You're introducing the Lord Jesus Christ to the Jews in particular and to us, that God is King. And by the way, he's the only Savior. Now, why is that? It has to be understood. Now, the Savior. Now, the Gospel of Luke, he's about the Son of Man. Gospel of Mark, he's about the servant that goes to the cross, serving the will of God. The Gospel of John, it's about his wonderful deity as God Almighty. Now, but King, that's Matthew. Matthew, that's right. Do you understand? He's the Savior. Therefore, keeping that in mind, you're going to keep reading it. Verse 17. I have declared and have saved, I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord. The witnesses about what? That you're God. You're wonderfully, wonderfully God. Verse 15. I am the Lord your God, the Creator, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I'm the only one. I'm the one. No question. You keep going and going and going. Verse 17. Which bringeth forth his chariot and his horses, army and power, and they shall be down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tau. In other words, we're going to go and have victory or victory after victory. The enemy is not going to prevail. Verse 20. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I gave waters in the wilderness and rivers in the sea, in the desert, and gave drink to my people, my chosen. I saved them. I saved them from their enemy. I saved them from their famine. I saved them in the light of every condition you could ever conceive. Verse 21, why did you do it? This people have I formed for myself, that they shall show forth my praise. Show forth, to echo, to shine, as it were, and to sound forth. So the way to think of that little verb, just think of the sun shining outside, the sun shining. And then think of the echo speaking, the shine, and to show forth. To show forth and to speak. Wow. God, so you're going to sound forth, sound, the sound goes out, the word, sounding forth the word, as shining forth as the sun. That's what they're going to be. And, verse 25, I am he that brought out thy transgressions for thy name's sake. I will not remember thy sin. Now, God, what are you doing? You're going and saving in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would, please, picking up, moving along, I guess, for time's sake. Psalm 106. And Isaiah kept reading in Isaiah. If he kept reading, and we read part of it in a scripture reading, I'm the only God and the only Savior. Every knee shall bow. I'm the only Savior. I'm the Creator. And if you're trying to solve why are you here? Of all the things you ask in your life, what about this in my life, and what about that in my life, and what about my job and my future and my everything? You got all those things? And the main question you should have asked yourself, and do ask yourself, why am I here? Why am I here on planet Earth? And that's going to get you to God. And when you get to God, you're going to have to say, well, God, how can any of this work out? And God, then you find out about God what? I am the Savior. I am the one that saves you. Do you understand? I created you, and I made it possible to solve everything, anything and everything about you. to fulfill my wonderful purpose. And now you've got the two main things together. I, Jesus, shall call his name Jesus. Why? He's the Savior. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, all picking up, please, in verse 8. Nevertheless, look, I'm going to give just a slight context. Verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea. Even at the Red Sea, they provoked him. Nevertheless, he saved them. There's your little verb. For his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power be known. He saved them. That's right. Now God, that's, you have a plan, a wonderful plan for Israel, and they did not understand, but they were proceeding down through time all the way into the future. But God, you're going to do what you do because you're God, and you saved them. That's right. I saved them. And they didn't save themselves. Psalm 44. And you will note again, Israel, Egypt. What's Egypt do? What do the Philistines do? We all try to take our religious and idols and our system and work out our lives in the might of the nations of Russia and China and the Iranians and the Muslims and all of that, and we're trying to work out our lives. That's what we're trying to do, to make it work it out here. That's what we're doing. Uh-huh. That's right. Now, but Israel, you don't want to copy them. You don't have to copy them. God set you apart to show them. It isn't about them trying to work out their solutions to their problems and this existence and to save themselves. It isn't about that. So Israel, you paid attention to them and not to me. Therefore, Psalm 44, verse 2, how didst drive out the heathen, the nations, with thy hand, and plantest them? How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out? God, you gave the victory. Note, please, verse 3, 4, they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, the little verb, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverance for Jacob. Now, God, all of what we did, and why do we even exist today? Why is Israel there? They can't get accepted. They're all spread out, but they can never be a nation apart from the nation God intends them to be in Israel under the reign and rule of our Lord Jesus Christ, God. Now, so we're going to go and try to save ourselves. But you know, it wasn't by horse or by sword. You didn't do it. I'm the one that kept giving you victory. Otherwise, you lost. And they did lose. They lost to the Assyrians. They lost to the Babylonians. They lost to the Romans under Titus. Now, over to Hosea. The prophet Hosea, first prophet minor, chapter 13. And you will note in God's wonderful plan and purpose for Israel to save them. He created them to show the world his wonderful plan and purpose, that he is the creator and that he is the savior. And he was busy. You don't read him saving the Iranians. You don't read him saving the Syrians. You don't read that. Nope. They're all doing what they do out there, fighting each other and doing whatever. Nope, God was using Israel to be an example for them. Hosea chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. I'm the only one. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great doubt. According to their pasture, they made their own plans and purpose for their lives. So were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore they have forgotten me. They had their own plans. We're all about earth, but where are we going? To a tombstone and a little date in it. The day you died. You had all of it you did, and you became a super duper or whatever, and then you died and became dust in the ground. You missed it. You missed out. You didn't pay attention. That's what they did. And Israel caught that disease, caught that flavor. Now, therefore, verse 8, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and I will rent their caul of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion, and wild beasts shall tear them. I'm going to go, and that's on the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity. But keep in mind, verse 9, O Israel, God's plea to them, O Israel, hast thou destroyed thyself? But in me is thy help. Well, how so? Verse 10. I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee? I'm the only savior in all thy cities and thy judges of whom thou saidest, give me a king and princes. Verse 11, a commentary on history. I gave thee a king in mine anger, King Saul, and I took him away in my wrath. I did what you wanted. You paid the price, all of history, for it. Now, God, it's a wonderful thing. Chapter 14, Israel, what are you going to learn? Assur shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither shall we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. We're not going to trust our idols that we make. We're not going to call on them. We're not going to worship them and talk about them. Verse 4, I will heal. They're going to have to repent. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him, etc. And I will be as the dew unto Israel. They shall grow as a lily and cast forth their roots as Lebanon. I'm going to go and make a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, all of that is God telling all the time in the midst of judgment, there's great encouragement by the prophets about God. So when we come to Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 21 in that, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That's what he's going to do. Now, and that's what it's about. So God, you're going to do that. And if you're still looking at Hosea chapter 14, and go to the last statement, who is wise, verse 9, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and just, the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. And so are the prophets. And God, you keep telling him. And so what are you born? You're going to tell what's going to happen. Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem. And the whole purpose is to what? To bring the Savior from the foundation of the world. Born, a son is given, a child is born, a son is given, Isaiah chapter 9. Etc. Now, over if you would, Luke chapter 19. So God, you're the Savior, that's right. I created you. And you say, well, how am I going to enjoy your creation? because I'm your Savior. I'm the solution to make it all possible. So therefore, God, that's what you've done. So what do I need? I need God. I already have, made in His image and likeness. I need to know the Lord as my personal Savior. What's He going to do? He's going to save me. When I receive Him as my Savior, what's He do? He saves me. No? He saves you. That's what He does. He's a Savior. What do you mean saved? He brings you back into the relationship that was lost because of sin, and He gives you the relationship back to Himself. How? He's the Savior. And as a saved, being saved, you're able to talk to God. And that's why the Spirit of God says for us in this church age, what? Abba, Father. Present tense. Imperative. Command. Over and over and over and over. Why? Don't forget. You're saved. To know the Father. To know the fulfillment of all God's wonderful working and plan and purpose in your life as you fumble through work, home, school, sickness, health, pills, sweat, tears, whatever you got in your life. And you stumble through it. It isn't about here. It's about you going through here in a saved way. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Enjoying being saved. Chapter 19, if I can. And verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as also he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Wow. Wow. He's come to save, to seek and to save that which is lost. What do you mean lost? What is it? They can't find it. Sin lost what? Sin caused us to lose our relationship to God. We were born in sin. We need life. So God, well, that's what we need. And so God, to your wonderful plan and purpose, you have a plan and purpose? I do. But I can't do it. It isn't that I don't have you. I have you. No, you're not. No, God, hold it now. God has everything. Everyone. Saved and unsaved. God has the devil and all his angels. They're his, God's. He's in charge. He calls the shots. God does. So the unsaved say, I'm not going to honor God. Yes, you are. You're not a free man or a free woman or a free boy or a free girl. You're answering to God. It is appointed unto men to what? Once to die and to what? And judgment. You're going to answer to God. You aren't going to escape it. You're going to answer to Him. Therefore, you're lost. It isn't a question that God doesn't have you. He can't use you because you're missing the relationship. That's why He's the Savior. That's why He says, thou shalt call His name Jesus. You better understand who He is. Who was it born in Bethlehem of Judea? Bethlehem. It's Jesus Christ, the Savior. The one who's going to go to the cross. If He don't go to the cross, nothing would exist. Wow. So it isn't a question of lost. And you know the illustration of that. Time is gone. Illustrating a little girl in London ventured out into the fog, a foggy night, one of those nights. And the mother noticed she was gone, and the mother saw she was missing and looked and began to search for her. Now the little girl was wandering and looking at all the windows and people and stores and looking. And the little girl had no sense of being lost, not a drop. But boy, that mother was concerned. And as time was on, that mother was very much concerned. It's God. So God, what are we doing? Well, God, are we concerned? Is the world concerned? that it wanders from store to store, building to building, and doing? Is the world concerned about being lost? No. But boy, you are God. God's concerned about you being lost. You see? I'm not lost. Oh, yes, you is. And God's the only one that really cares to find you. Who else cares about you losing? Who else cares whether you live another week or another month, really, when it's all said and done? We'll all just keep plowing along. We adjust to everything. That's what we do. Wow. So lost. Therefore, our time is gone. We didn't get very far. But a little, maybe. Over, if you would please, to Romans and chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. And you will note now, remember Matthew, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what he's going to do. Now, so when we come to the gospel message, etc., the good news, Matthew, Romans chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Thou shalt be saved. Call upon his name. What's it? What is it? He's the Savior. What are we looking at? We aren't looking at someone who cares about us and some person that loved people and loved things and we ought to mimic and look at it at Christmas time and that. No. God fulfilling the awesomeness of his eternal plan. Now, over, if you would please, to Hebrews. God, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, should be saved. Hebrews, if I can. And in chapter 7. And may I pick up, please, in verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save, there's your verb, them to the uttermost, completely, forever, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So God, you're going to go what? You're going to save us? Uh-huh. How long are you going to save us? For how long? Forever. When are you going to quit saving us? Never. I'm never going to quit. You're saved to the uttermost. What could happen to make it disappear? Nothing. Is that right? Nothing can make it disappear. Wow. Now, one other thing, a little extra. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2, if I may. Ephesians chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought what God tells us. Ephesians 2, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 9. Verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God. So God, you did it. You're the one that died on the cross, and we receive you as our Savior. And you have a wonderful plan and purpose for our life. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's nothing about us. So about your birth, your death, your good, your bad, your right, your wrong. It's not about that. Nope. And you're able to save us because you're the Savior. That's right. Four, we are his workmanship. God, it's your work. You created us in your image and likeness, created in Christ Jesus, new creatures in Christ, his body, his wonderful relationship to God as in his body as sons, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, back when the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. God had a wonderful plan for your life. We've said it 5,000 times. God had a wonderful plan for your life before you were ever created. And God created you to fulfill that plan. Awesome plan. This gets you ready for there. If you goof here and you're lost and you don't intend to be found, thinking you're lost and no one's going to find me, he's not going to get me, God's not going to get me, no sir, God's not going to get me, then you're lost and you could be found. He's the Savior. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and in earth. He's the one, God. My name. He said, I told you. What's your name, God? I am that I am. Who are you? I am the Savior. I am Jesus. Wow. You understand? That isn't just a nice name. That means an awesome relationship that he has made possible. A little bit, maybe. Not very far. Our Father and God, thank you for your word, your work, your grace. God, thank you much. We owe you, God. Yeah. Thank you. And for those who know not you as the Lord and Savior, God, may they just, God, get a hold of them. Convict their heart, God. Disturb them to the uttermost that they might truly know you as their Savior. And our God, we're going to be thankful. So looking to you to help us in every way, thank you for being such a Savior, to save us. You are saving us. Thank you. You are saving us right this second. Thank you. You are going to keep saving us. Thank you. You're going to keep saving us, even so come, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.